We meet in the presence of God. We commit ourselves to work in penitence and faith for reconciliation between the nations, that all people may together live in freedom, justice, and peace. We pray for all who, in bereavement, disability, and pain, continue to suffer the consequences of fighting and of terror. We remember with thanksgiving and sorrow those whose lives in world wars and conflicts past and present have been given and taken away. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Let us remember before God and commend to his safekeeping those who have died for their country in war, those whom we knew and whose memory we treasure, and all who have lived and died in the service of the peoples of the world.
They shall grow not old, as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them.
We will remember them.
Now we remember those men from Kympton who gave their lives in the service of their country in the years 1914 to 1917. James Mumford, Roger Kane, Alfred Joseph Whitworth, William Wells, James William Hawkes, Oswald Desborough, Andrew Williamson, Archibald Bid, Alfred Shepherd, Owen Matthews, James Walter Welsh, Nathan Kane, Harold David Joad, David Ross, Charles Arthur Wittering, Cyril Almond, and Richard Gray.
Men of Kympton who gave their lives in the service of their country, 1917 to 1918. Arthur George Rose, Richard John Hatton, Hector A. Coleman, Hubert William Field, Herbert William Whitworth, Bertram John Matthews, Leonard J. East, Albert Edward Mead, Arthur Sammons, Frederick Munden, Arthur Frank Smith, Charles Edward Hill, George E. Gatwood, Percy Edwin Norris, Albert Edward Hobbs, James Lawrence, and Ernest Bertram Gatwood.
Men of Kympton who gave their lives in the service of their country, 1939 to 1945. Albert Charles Cook, Thomas Ely, Kenneth George Berry, Albert George Kane, John Henry Daniel, John Nightingale Wardill, Edward Charles Bridges, Lawrence Herbert Bozier, Reginald George Hill, Ronald Peter Stagg.
Romans chapter 12, verses 9 to 21. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints, extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I always find it quite difficult singing that last hymn, "Eternal Father, Strong to Save." It's the hymn of the Royal Navy, apart from anything else. And my dad served in the Royal Navy since being a boy through to retirement, and right the way, or from 1942, when he actually went into active service at the age of 17. And his second ship was torpedoed 3 times, but without loss of life, thank God. I always find Remembrance Day uplifting. It's great to see the procession led by the cross and including the banners of the Royal British Legion, coming through the village and stopping to face the names of those men of Kympton who died in the World Wars. It's lovely to see this sea of faces in our beautiful church on this annual village act of remembrance for the sacrifice that gave us victory in 1918 and 1945, and again in 1982 at the end of the Falklands War against Argentina. It's a chance to come together to thank God for our deliverance and the peace that we have enjoyed in our green and pleasant land. But also to recall that that peace that we enjoy came at a price. That there were countless people who, when it became necessary, were prepared to stand up for what they knew to be right. To say no to powerful people who are threatening that green and pleasant land, threatening our principles and our way of doing things. The people who fought in wars, men and women in the Navy, the Army and the Royal Air Force, are the ones that we chiefly remember, and quite rightly too, because those were the ones who died when serving. But we should also remember the survivors, millions of people who served, but then, when peace returned, had to turn to and build up a new society, a new Britain, from the ruins that were left after the fighting. I'm an old man. I was born in 1949. 4 years after the Second World War finished. But I remember so well as a little boy the way in which the country was still picking itself up, the rationing of petrol during the Suez Crisis in 1956, and the stories I was told by my parents who had gone through such a terrible time. My grandfather was a captain in the Navy, and his job was to be King's Harbour Master of Plymouth. So when my mother was about 18 and living in Plymouth, she became a wren. That means a girl sailor. She did all sorts of tasks. Not fighting, of course, that was left to the men. But she worked in the small boats in the harbour of Plymouth. And she trained as a signaller, sending messages in Morse code and semaphore. I bet there's nobody here who could send a message in either of those at the moment. Put your hand if you reckon you could. She told us on one occasion of her training when she was practicing semaphore. Semaphore is a means of signaling, and each letter has a different shape. So as long as you can see the other person with their flags or their arms, then you can send a message. And she was practicing semaphore with a friend on the quayside in Plymouth, and there were several frigates, warships, tied up alongside to refuel or to get ready to go back and out and fight. And my mother and her friends were just making up any old thing, just to practice signalling. And she signalled, "I have never been kissed by a man with a beard." Well, her friend was about 50 metres away from her, but so were the ships. And her message could be seen and read by all the matelots, all the sailors that were watching in the ships. And suddenly there was a huge shout from these ships, and bearded men were seen running down the gangplank, and she and her friend had to run for their lives. But then, a few days later, She and her mother, my granny, had to hide in the cellar underneath the house while their house was bombed to complete destruction. The whole place was blown apart above their heads. Amazingly, they weren't injured at all. But when they came out, there was no house left. It was just rubble. We can't imagine what it must have been like to go through that sort of experience. Although the pictures coming out of Ukraine and Gaza of wildernesses that are all that are left of people's houses and lives should give us a pretty good idea. But it should also give us a resolution, a determination, that war is not the answer, that people must live in harmony with each other, or else the results are catastrophic. The sharp-eyed among you will notice that, as well as having several red poppies, I'm also wearing a white one. The red one is to remember the things that have happened in the past. The white one is a promise, a determination, that I will try not to allow the mistakes of the past to lead to more mistakes in the future. Now, I'm getting pretty old, and so are those around me who were told about the war by their parents. More and more I realize that most people sitting here certainly won't have been involved in the war, or very few of you were. But you remember the stories that were told by your parents. But maybe it was your grandparents, or even your great-grandparents, that are telling stories of the Second World War, of the things that they did, the problems they encountered, the sacrifices they had to make. And they're way back in the past. And it's hard to measure them up in a modern world where fighting and suffering goes on somewhere else. We see it on the news. But it's not here, not in Kimpton. But it does go on. And I'm addressing the youngsters here now. I'm afraid it's the turn of the next generation, of you and your children, to shoulder the burden of the mess that our generation has left for you. It's up for you to decide what sort of world you want to live in, how you envisage a peaceful Kimpton, a peaceful and happy Britain, a peaceful, happy and caring world. It is, I'm afraid, your responsibility now. But you don't have to do it alone. You don't have to start from a blank sheet of paper. Because over the years, over the centuries, the millennia, your ancestors and mine have built up abiding principles, rules, laws, guidelines on the best way to live. It's those rules, those laws, those guidelines that make us what we are and make our society what it is. And they are enshrined in our constitution. Every scout, guide, brownie, cub, rainbow, and beaver has been told their promise. I wonder if anybody can tell me what it is.
To do my duty to the king and to help other people and to keep the Cub Scout law.
I think he deserves a round of applause for that. Thank you very much indeed. To do my duty. It's an odd word, isn't it? It's a rather old-fashioned word. But that's what our youngsters are promising to do. I think it's changed over the time. It was also, in my time, it was to the duty to God and the Queen or King. But times change. We all have an idea of right and wrong. When we have to choose, when there's some difficult decision to make, there's a little voice inside us, which we call conscience, which helps us to tell the difference between good and evil. We don't always follow the right path, but we know what it is. When often it's the difficult one, the uncomfortable one, the one of sacrifice. For me, the guiding principles are based on the Christian faith, on the way of Jesus Christ. And sometimes when faced with a tough decision, I ask myself, what would Jesus do if he was in this situation? And it helps me decide. He said, "Blessed are the peacemakers." And he told us stories about forgiveness, of caring, of hope, and of love that are the basis of all we do. In the reading that Linda read earlier from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, just a part of it says this: "Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all." And there's a lot more that I could read from that, which is very well worth reading. We all need those guidelines, those principles, those promptings, which help us to know the right way to go. And they help us to build a new Kimpton, a happy Kimpton, a happy community where caring for others is at the basis of all we do. May God bless you all, and may he help us in the future as we take decisions for ourselves and for those around us. Amen. Say together the prayer that Jesus taught his friends to say. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
When you go home, tell them of us and say, "For your tomorrow, we gave our today."
Let us commit ourselves to responsible living and faithful service. God grant to the living grace, to the departed rest, to the church, the king, the commonwealth, and all the people, unity, peace, and concord. And to us and all God's servants, life everlasting. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us all and remain with us always. Amen.